Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And couldn't be a better time to do it. I'm pumped. I love this stuff. I understand the human side of it. I'm not happy. You know, I don't want people to be afraid. I just love these periods of times because when you're a risk manager looking at things like we are, these are opportunities. I was telling the group on KTTH up here, where we have the 3 minute segment that none of the it's my exclusive time with the OGs of Know Your Risk Radio, the first radio station we were on. And no, really, it's about programming, but I do love those folks. But like I was telling them, look, I think hard times are upon us, and when I tell you guys that I'm excited about it, what I mean is most days in this job are boring. And there are a lot of times where your job, the thing that is best for your clients and the thing that's best for the portfolios typically is to sit still. So there's a lot of downtimes. When these times come along, it's exciting. Yeah, it's a little scary, but it gets your blood pumping, right? And it's especially coming at it from being risk managers like we are. Like today, we're having a good day. We're up. Our value portfolio, we're about flat overall, I think, over the last couple of weeks. But value portfolio's having a really nice run. Having a good day today, too. It's been a good couple of weeks. Actually, I think we've only had one red day in the value portfolio the last week and a half. Maybe more. So if clients are out there listening, be like, oh, but very small. We had one day where we got hit for 1% in value. But we bounced back sharply since then. Anyway, it's fun, and it presents opportunities. When you get volatility like this moving, and I was telling the folks on KTTH 770 here in Seattle that, you know, Monday was a perfect example. So you had the Fed come out essentially and backstop depositors on Sunday. They've made more moves since then that we'll get into here in the market update. And then you come out Monday morning and everybody's dumping on the banks. And you're sitting there going, classic mistake. If you didn't short the banks beforehand, probably not the best idea to short them in large now, right? And the reason why is because now everybody knows the problem. And you might win, but you don't have any edge, right? You don't have any advantage because this is all known now. So we stepped in there and bought the regional banks via an ETF Monday. Pretty good sized position too. It was 6% of our portfolio, flipped it 24 hours later for a 15% gain. Now, you guys know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we never lose, right? Sometimes those trades go against you. What I'm saying, though, is that in times like these, when people are freaking out, there's always trade opportunities. There's always things to take advantage of. And that's fun. Get your blood pumping. And then the other thing is, you know, you have to be in odd markets to make 15% in 24 hours on regional banks. You know what I mean? You just don't usually get those opportunities. So, and not a game changer. The position was up 15. The accounts weren't. Okay. I want to make that very clear. We didn't make 15% in a day on the account. But it's great. Opportunities like this come on. And when you're managing risk, these are the things you live for because this is when we shine. And, we got clients calling in going, hey, what did it? And I'm like, you realize we're positive today? It's okay. We're hedged. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. So anyway, a lot of advantages to risk management. So there is so much to talk about today. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get to it. First out of the gate, I've been making a lot of promises regarding interviews. I got to apologize to you again. Now, this one isn't my fault or anybody else's fault. We are going to have on Andreas Steno Larsen today, who runs he's a young guy, a little bit younger than me, very brilliant, was the head of research at Nordea Bank, started his own research firm, and I just think he does phenomenally thorough and good work. He's been on the show before. We were going to dig into the Fed rate hike next week, what the Fed did to backstop the facilities, all that other kind of stuff. He is buried with clients right now, freaking out, you know, over the banks. It's been, as you guys can imagine, in this business, it has been a wild week and a half to 2 week ride. And so he goes, Zach, I just tell you, I'm sorry. I just am buried. I can't get out. And I said, no sweat. We'll do it next week. But another interesting we've got, I think we're going to drop two next week. And I've been promising that. And this, you know, I was on vacation. Then the banking crisis out. It's just one thing after the other. Next week, I'm having on another really sharp guy that used to work at the FDIC. So he's going to give us some really good insights about what we should be afraid of, what we shouldn't be afraid of. We're not just bringing interviews, guys. We're bringing interviews for people who have experience and knowledge about exactly what problems we're currently going through. Because I want you guys, whether you're a client or not, want you to have the best information possible. So we're going to be his name is Stephen Mirren. He's going to be joining us next Friday. Really looking forward to that. Very sharp operator. So we got a lot of great stuff going on. All right. Getting to the market update. Okay. What is it? What are the things that we should be focused on in the market update? That is a joke of a question. Okay. I obviously know nothing compares to what is currently going on as far as banks. Okay. So let's get into that right out of the gate. So regarding banks, I think we went into great detail, and I'm assuming most of you now know, you know, what the problems are. And just take it from me, if you have any ambiguity or you've heard different people, that's one of the things about life today. Have you noticed? Now, this has always been the case, and I think finance, it's especially true, which is people do not have a problem talking with a high level of certainty about things that they have no clue what they're talking, right? Like when they have absolutely no expertise or no understanding, that doesn't stop them from talking, right? It doesn't stop them from putting out an opinion. And when I say that, I don't say that being condescending or saying I'm the guy that knows everything. It's not that. It just has always amazed me. Every time I do the radio show, I always check the things that we're going to talk about. I would love to tell you it's out of like, you know, integrity reasons. Honestly, it's just truthfully, it's just to avoid embarrassment. You don't want to get out there on the radio and, you know, talk with certainty about so many different things and then just realize that you gave people wrong information and look like an idiot. So for me, I can't really take credit and be like, well, I do it responsibly because I truthfully do it out of fear. I mean, I'm just trying to be transparent, right? Nobody wants to be wrong, but I think B, the biggest reason why I check things and then if I've gotten it wrong, which I have, I mean, I'm a human being, you know, come on the show and say, hey, we whiffed on that one, right? Other people don't have that circuit. You know what I mean? Like Jim Cramer is a perfect example. And again, I don't mean to pile on. I don't know if any of you have been following it. It's pretty brutal. I mean, everything he says, it's been a very tough run for Jimmy. Everything he says, the opposite happens. He was repping FRC Bank less than a month ago and Silicon Valley Bank, okay? He was saying, you got to sell your Bitcoin a week ago. It's rallied 20% or 25%. He was saying to buy NVIDIA all the way down. Then at the bottom, at 125, he said he'd now shorted NVIDIA. It's now back to 250. I mean, it's just been rough, right? It doesn't stop him from coming out. He came out yesterday and said, if you want to short the NASDAQ here, send me an address to your funeral. And I tweeted him back and I said, or no, give me an invite to your funeral. I tweeted him back and said, I'm going to need your address, Jim. and I'm not advising anybody go short the NASDAQ. It's just been, it's an example of people talking with levels of certainty. You know, it was like when Cramer and a lot of other people, not to be mean at Cramer or mean to Cramer, it was when a lot of other people were like, oh, you got to buy the banks when rates are going up. And I sat there and I went, oh, okay, yes, guys, that is normally the thing. Okay. And the reason why you want to buy banks when interest rates are going up is because the banks charge more, right? They make more, right? The bigger the total amount of interest gets, the bigger the bank spread is on the deal, right? But when those higher rates are stopping anybody from borrowing anything, and more importantly, when those higher rates are hitting the bank's capital and the investments they got on their balance sheet, you don't want to buy banks. And it's like, We've entered this age where not knowing anything and having no clue what you're talking about doesn't preclude anybody from going out there and talking like they do. So that's a little angst I'm getting out of my system there. Just having to listen to all of these nonsensical takes on the bank. Well, they should have been stress tested. They were. Well, it's a failure. No, it's a duration problem, man. When you load up for 15 years, and guys, this is why we talk about bond replacement strategies for the last 8 years. This is why. We've talked about on the show before. The problem is going to be, and I said this as early as 2019, and not because I'm a genius, just because you take a step back and you think, right? You don't talk, you think. Just think what happens. What happens when interest rates go up? Bonds go down. What do banks own? Bonds. What happens when those bonds go down in price aggressively? The bank is in trouble. What makes you think the bonds will go down in price aggressively? Because they bought them at the lowest yields in human history. And everybody's like, well, you don't need to be afraid of a 5% Fed funds rate. That's below the long-term average. Well, we've never been at a 5% Fed funds rate after spending 15 years at zero. Right? Nobody thinks anymore. And you're sitting there going, this bank problem. And if it wasn't, guys, I don't have a CFA. I'm not from Harvard Business School. I didn't go to Wharton. I didn't cut my teeth in Millennium's hedge fund or Goldman Sachs. I'm no genius. I'm really not. Just sat back and went, wait a second. What do banks own? Bonds. Okay. What are the rates on those bonds? Around 2. What's the average duration risk? What's the average duration? 6 to 7 years? Okay, you realize if interest rates get to 5, that bank's got a 35% hole in its capital. I mean, this isn't, right? We're not sitting in front of a whiteboard drawing out these big algorithms as complicated math. It's bloody common sense. So you're sitting there saying to buy these things when they go down or when interest rates go up. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? Every tick interest rates go up is pushing the sucker closer to insolvency. Just nobody thinks anymore. So getting to my point, I think we've reiterated that. This is a really simple problem. You spend 15 years at 0% interest rates, and every lending institution, every pension fund, you name it, is going to be loaded up on what? They're going to be loaded up on very low interest rate, long duration debt. Why? Because that's all they can buy. So, and literally, I took all kinds of flack for saying, when they were like, oh, yeah, quantitative easing's over. And I go, no, it's not. They go, yeah, it is. And I go, well, they're going to have to hike rates for inflation. They're like, yeah, well, they don't do quantitative easing. And I go, they're going to have to do quantitative easing because if you're fighting inflation, you need higher interest rates. But you also can't let the bond market blow up or you'll kill all the banks. So what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to step in there and buy bonds. What did the Fed do over the last week and a half? Aha, $300 billion worth of bonds purchased. While interest rates were high. Remember, people were telling me, you don't understand monetary policy. They can't do it. And I'm looking at them going, you don't understand monetary policy. They're making this up as they go. They're printing money out of thin air. Remember in 2008, 2009, I remember because I was working in the industry at the time, they came out with quantitative easing. We all looked at each other and went, what's quantitative easing? They're making it up as they go, guys. There's no rules here. This is like NOM. There are no rules here. They're making it up as they go. You're going to backstop these bonds? Sure. We act as if these people are the wizards and they know what they're doing. They don't know what. How do you not anticipate bank problem? Guys, literally, we've been talking about this issue for 7 years. Local radio here in Seattle. Hey, they got hundreds of PhDs in economics. The problem is this isn't a math problem. This is a common sense problem. This is a problem that derives from a lack of horse sense, right? And common sense. And unfortunately, in today's society, in today's culture, we have that in spades, right? So the bank issue is very simple. It's a duration problem. You got a bunch of low-yielding assets on the bank's balance sheets, okay? Now, what has the Fed done? Do we have concern left in community banks? Look, I don't think so. Certainly not on a systemic level, but to be safe, like I said, there's just no downside to flipping your savings accounts into a money market account, which is federally insured, or just putting it in U.S. government treasuries, right? I don't think there's going to be an issue. Now, hold on a second. Do I get it? Yeah, okay. So a video was circulating around, and if you guys want to see it, you can log on to my Twitter. I put this, and you know, I think that's the benefit of Twitter, you know, not because I'm some, I don't take myself quite as seriously as a lot of these other guys do. I'm not saying I'm some kind of oracle, but we post this stuff during the week and I think it could be helpful and, you know, you can get good data from it. But anyway, we posted a video of Janet Yellen testifying before Senate. I believe it was Congress or Senate. I believe it was either yesterday or the day before about this issue. And they were talking about bank bailouts, right? And he was saying, you're going to back up the depositors of this bank, but you're not going to back up the depositors of that bank. And everybody kind of had a collective gasp because her whole gist of what she was saying was just because we did this with these banks doesn't mean we're going to do it for every other bank. Okay. And at first I sat there and went, oh, geez, here we go. And the guy interviewing her made some really good points. And he goes, listen, if you don't do that, all these people are going to pull their money and collapse the regional banks and put it into the banks that are too big to fail. Because we know that 100% of their deposits are backstopped because you won't let them go under, right? And he makes a really good point. And she refused to say that they were backstopped, okay? Now, what I'm about to say can be construed the wrong way, so I don't want, this isn't actionable, okay? But I'm telling you what I was reading through that interview with Janet Yellen. She couldn't say that they were going to backstop all the depositors. And this gets to the perverse place we're at. Okay. In her mind, and I guarantee you they had this conversation to the Treasury before she ever showed up to give this speech or to do this hearing. I know for a fact they discussed it. These people don't go to the bathroom without having a meeting. Okay. She would not say that she'll back up those depositors of additional banks because she can't. And in her mind, it's because she does not want to institute moral hazard into the situation. Yes, you heard me correct. She doesn't want to institute moral hazard, meaning she doesn't want people to not do their jobs at those banks because they know that the Fed and the Treasury are standing there to bail them out. And I'm looking at her going, okay, I understand, Janet, but we already know that, right? You're worried about injecting moral hazard into this situation. The reason we're having a bank run is because all of the moral hazard you've already injected. By keeping rates at zero, you sterilized risk for a decade and a half. And now you want to know why risk managers don't spot duration risk sitting in a pile of $90 billion of AAA rated debt paying 2.7%? Why are they blind to that risk, Janet? Because you guys haven't done the right thing for nearly two bloody decades. And you created this problem. And I'm not going after this after the fact, trying to pin it on them. I've been on the radio railing about this for years, saying they are boxing themselves into a corner. When they finally need to raise rates, they're going to blow things up. And here we are. And they're all smarter than I am. They've all got more degrees and more pedigrees. This isn't complicated. This requires 10 minutes of quiet thought, and you could have gotten to the same conclusion. Well, we're going to, you know, it was like I posted the other day, a 2017 quote from President Harker of the Philly Fed came out and said, when we finally start running down our balance sheet or quantitative tightening, meaning selling the assets that the Fed's been buying for the last two decades, when we do that, it's going to be as quote unquote, as boring as watching paint dry. Oh, really? Because you didn't even burn off 5% of your balance sheet and we've got a national bank run, right? We are being driven by the idiots, not in terms of their intellectual power, but the fact that they have no wisdom. They have no ability to second guess themselves. They have no ability to sit back and go, well, hold on. What other things does this bring into purview? Right? A perfect example. And guys, I'm giving you a recommendation right here. There's a new documentary that came out by put out by PBS Frontline called The Age of Easy Money. It dropped 2-3 days ago. It is fantastic. It's one of the best pieces of journalism I've seen in years. It is unbiased. It's fair to both sides. It gets at the heart of the matter. It is absolutely fantastic. The Age of Easy Money. I can't find it anywhere on TV, so I just got it off of PBS's website and just streamed it from my phone to the television. But it's fantastic, and you got to go watch it because it's getting to all this. The fact that they thought that this wouldn't be a problem at some point, right? What have we been saying on the radio? The bill always comes due. We know this, right? This isn't a Dire Straits song. It isn't Money for Nothing and Chicks for Free. These things cost. And now, what is the Fed in? They're in a really big pickle, right? What they need to be able to do is to cut rates. The problem is if they do that, that's stimulative and pushes inflation right back up. Weird. Have you heard me say that before? That they're going to end up in a pickle with a gun to both sides of their head. Do we save the stock market or do we save the economy? We can't save both. Here we are. And that's what's so irritating to me. I would have preferred being wrong. Then I would have sat there and said, hey, the powers that be know more than I do, and this isn't that simple. Problem is, it is. And it shows you the feckless people that we have running this stuff. And what's their answer to the problem? Surprise, surprise, bailouts. That's the other thing I told you guys. Ignore all these people talking about financial system collapsing. And it has nothing to do with whether they're being responsible or irresponsible. The system doesn't allow it. It's the new American way. Nobody loses. Everybody gets a participation trophy. I got an idea. Talk about a failure in regulations. You want to end all this stuff? You want to end it? Why don't we go back to the days of the early 80s and prior to that, where these firms were all structured as partnerships, and the partners of the firm were on the hook personally if the firm went under. You reinstitute that. None of this problem exists. None of it. If they're going to lose their $5 million vacation home and their $50 million yacht if they don't manage risk properly, guess what they're going to do? They're going to manage risk properly. Here's the other thing. I'm tired of watching these morons run the car into the ditch, all the while getting rich on their own. And when they run it in the ditch, it's the public's problem now, and we got to bail them out. We've privatized profits and we've socialized losses. And this isn't new. It's just a continuation. So if you're out there and surprised that the government caved and gave in, don't be. This is what they do, baby. It's like the scorpion and the frog, right? The Aesop's fable, right? Scorpion asked the frog for a lift across the river. Frog goes, no way, you're going to stick me. He goes, no, I promise I won't. Why would I do that? Both of us will die. They go back and forth for a while. So the frog goes, okay, we'll do it. They get halfway across the river. Scorpion drills him. Frog goes, what are you doing? Now we're both dead. And Scorpion looks at him, shrugs his shoulders. He goes, that's what I do, right? This is what they do. To expect them to do anything else is the problem's on us. And if you want to avoid all these issues, how's this for a smooth transition? If you want to avoid all these issues, give us a call, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Guys, you don't need to be left out to the whims and arrows of these idiots and this system. Your retirement doesn't need to swing in the balance of these moronic bureaucrats, okay? We can guard you against these risks. We won't always get it right, but we'll make sure that we've got you in a portfolio that can't go bust. Okay, we'll give you way less risk, way less cost, still more upside. Call us, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. And remember, go look at those interviews and the stuff I post to my Twitter account. You can find me at KYR Radio on Twitter. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
If you're retired or headed there, is your portfolio positioned for a successful retirement? Well, with the state of the economy right now, risk management has never been more important. Join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free live webinar, March 23rd, to learn how their risk management strategy and active management of portfolios can actually lower their volatility. It is a free live webinar.
Todd, protecting retirement portfolios against loss is our number one focus. Our live webinar is a fully transparent look into the Bulwark investment strategy. We'll show you how it worked last year as well as in previous years and why a basic 60-40 stock bond mix is outdated and a big risk in today's economy. Learn how our risk management strategy can help protect your retirement.
Join Zach March 23rd at 3 p.m. Pacific time. It's free, but space is limited. Register now at knowyourriskradio.com and learn about Bulwark's risk management strategy and performance. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. All right. I've calmed down a little bit. Sorry, guys. I don't mean to get too vociferous or too emotional about it. But when you sit there and you see these things coming for a long time, I had a fairly high degree of certainty that we were seeing it correctly. It's just it's a very empty victory to be right about something like that, because part of you is sitting there hoping you're wrong, right? Part of it is sitting there hoping that these people actually see a deeper game that you're not aware of. You know, you kind of hope that you don't understand it. You kind of hope it works out better. But to watch this play out exactly the way that we've sat here and talked about it on local radio, and to watch the quote unquote smartest people in the world walk right into this. Like, for instance, when you're the Fed and you're hiking like that, how did you not know that you needed to have a way to deal with duration on them? You spent the last 15 years making these banks gorge on the stuff. That's the other thing, guys. This is why this is really unlike 08-09. Okay, these issues, by and large, okay, the crypto bank that went under, that's a totally different ballgame. To a degree, Silicon Valley Bank is too, but it's still the same issue. This isn't banks taking on excess leverage and doing stupid things based on greed to juice profits. Okay, this problem was caused because banks have to buy bonds. They got to buy safe, AAA rated, interest paying things, because that is how they keep the lights on and that is how they make money. And that's how they pay their depositors insurance. That's what they have to do. When the Fed locks rates at zero for 15 years, the banks don't really have an alternative. Should they have hedged their duration risk? Of course. Am I surprised they didn't? No. 15 years is a long time. Right? Like I said last week, when you as a central bank keep rates at zero, run quantitative easing for 15 years, essentially sanitizing, sterilizing, and removing every piece of risk out of a market, don't be surprised when the risk finally shows up if you have people that don't know what they're doing in the seat of being a risk manager. Right? It's like having a football team, never practicing and showing up for the first game expecting to blow the other team out. Like, what are you expecting? Now, does that absolve them from that? No, it was one of the biggest failures of risk management I've ever. It's just dumb. It was dumb. It's dumb that any of these banks have a duration problem. That's why. Why didn't they stress test what? They don't have anything else to buy. When you finally have inflation as a problem, it's another thing I said on the radio for years. Again, no CFA. I'm not a genius. This game can go on as long as inflation doesn't show up. The minute inflation shows up, you got a problem. You got a big problem. And how people don't see that, I've gotten off track again. It just blows my mind, and it's disheartening. It's discouraging. And I think we're looking at another one right now. Okay, so Fed meeting coming up. Fed meeting next week, and it's a big one, guys. It's a big one. Why is it a big one? Because contrary to the average consumer out there, this economy is it's not hanging by a thread. Look, it's bad. And it's getting bad quick, and the inflation is covering that up. Okay, for all of you out there, I've been saying that we are in a recession. It's semantics at this point. Let's look at the scoreboard. Okay, you got commercial real estate collapsing. Okay, you got residential real estate in an absolute deep freeze, historically so. Okay, now we're looking at a national run on a bank. Are we still having the recession debate, guys? This is why I said this whole thing is ridiculous. You're going to lever up an economy like that, think you can raise rates, and you're not even going to have a recession? Like, I don't even know how to respond to that. Okay? The recession is happening, obviously. I think most of us with level heads can acknowledge that. And truthfully, I don't see any way out of it. And there really isn't. Right? And that's what makes this Fed meeting so pivotal. So if you've been watching the market this week and you're surprised that stocks rally in the middle of a national bank run, don't be. This is what we've been saying, guys. For 15 years, valuations and fundamentals don't matter. We're gaming the Fed. When the Fed's pumping money into the system, buy stocks. When they're pulling money out, sell. Why did stocks rally, especially the most overpriced, ridiculous part of the stock market in tech? ARK had a phenomenal week. ARKK. NVIDIA is just defying gravity. Apparently, NVIDIA's, which is so funny because a chip company is very cyclical and their valuation is insane. And this is a company that just had a drop in revenue last year. Why did that stuff rally? Because they believe that the Fed, they believe that the banking issue was going to make the Fed lose its grit and cut rates, at least pause. And I will say this, if the Fed pauses or cuts, brace yourself because this market is going to rip. Now, I don't think they're going to do that. But this is a huge meeting and I'll tell you why. Look, the odds on favorite is for them to hike 25 basis points. Okay, even after the bank. And the reason why is people's like, they can't do it now. And I'm like, look, they can, and I think they will. And the reason why is because to deal with this banking issue, they just had to buy. They had to relaunch quantitative easing again, which we've been saying they'd have to do. They relaunched quantitative easing to the tune of $300 billion. So that is an injection of $300 billion into the system. Okay. The other thing they've done is they've set up this lending facility where these banks now that have these bonds that they bought when they were paying 2.5%, and now interest rates are at five, and that bond, you know, the equivalent bond is now paying 5.5% or six, you know, mortgage backed securities around 6.5, 7, right? Now those banks, so their bonds are 25, 35, 40% underwater. They can go to the Fed and they can borrow money against those bonds at face value, right? So par, meaning every bond is issued at $1,000. Those bonds that are now 35% underwater, they can borrow money from the Fed, and the amount they can borrow is equal to the face value of the bond, not the current market value of the bond. So basically, it enables them to borrow the money from the Fed and use it to meet customer withdrawals without having to sell those bonds and realize the losses. Okay, both of those actions are very stimulative. What are we fighting right now? We're fighting inflation. Okay, the last thing you want to do is stimulate or make stimulative moves into the economy to fight inflation, which is why I think they have to raise rates. If they raise rates, you know, I actually think a 25 basis point hike in lieu of the $300 billion injection and in lieu of the lending facility they put up for longer term debt, I think a 25, if you add all that together, I actually think that's the equivalent of them pausing or giving a slight cut. So here's where going into the Fed meeting, the market is pricing a 25 bips hike right now as an 80% certainty. And it's pricing a 0%, you know, a pause, meaning they don't hike or cut. They're pricing that at 20. Okay. The reason why I think that they are going to hike outside of what the market has brought. Well, first of all, let's get to why I think this is so important. The economic data keeps rolling in and it's just not good, guys. I mean, Goldman just reiterated their recession call. Every macro indicator you look at is bad. Okay. It's very clear cut. And if a national run on the bank doesn't convince you, I don't know what will, right? It's just tough out there. Yet at the same time, the stock market is still, the NASDAQ still trading at 30 times earnings. Like good times are here today. S&P's at 22 times earnings, completely acting like nothing's wrong, right? The reason they got a hike in my opinion, is one of the biggest feedback loops into inflation. Maybe not the biggest, but certainly one worthy of note is the stock market. In, you know, stock market goes up, it improves consumer sentiment, it inspires consumer spending. All of those things are inflationary. They've got a counterbalance. You've still got inflation. Inflation has accelerated over the last 3 or 4 months, meaning we're at a higher rate right now than we were at the end of last year. Okay, so they can't be stimulative. And in this environment, even though a recession looks certain, I think you're really flirting. When you look, let's take a step back for a second. When we look at inflation, and this is something we've tried to talk to you guys about pretty regularly. If we say inflation is going to be at a 40-year high like it is right now, you would have assumed that gold would have gone nuts. Now, gold's been going on a nice little run here lately, again, because the market thinks that the Fed's going to cut rates or pause. Also, gold tends to rally in times of financial stress, right? So I think that's what's driving it. But my whole point in bringing that up is a person who is a long-term fan of gold, and I think gold will do very well over the next, you know, several years because of all this, insanity that we see going on. But inflation is far more complicated than most people think, right? For instance, the same time that we were dealing with 40-year high inflation, we were dealing with the dollar at a 23-year high, right? What does that mean? It means that a lot of us, the assumptions we make about what we think we know about inflation, we don't. And we've delved into a lot of that stuff on the show before. I don't want to bore you in going back through it. But it's much more complicated. And it's why Milton Friedman, the famed economist, said that inflation is always and for, what did he say, is always and every, something along the lines of inflation is always and forever a monetary phenomenon. And one of the reasons he made that statement was because inflation, it comes in many different forms, but the thing that makes it tough to deal with is it's equal parts structural and equal parts behavioral. Meaning you can have an economy that's running at 0% interest rates with the Fed printing money and government debt going up for 15 years and not see inflation show up because the behavioral side isn't there. When the behavioral side comes around into that environment, then boom, right? What brought that behavioral side out? Stimmies, handouts, right? Fed printing, pumping money, the COVID bust. Crazy enough, the COVID bust is what changed those animal spirits. So the Fed is raised enough on the structural side. Like I've said, if they just keep rates here for long enough, it'll implode the economy. And sure enough, we just had a bank run, right? So they've done enough. The problem is the market isn't taking the cue and neither is the average consumer. Why aren't they? Because no matter what we've dealt with over the last 15 years, the Fed has stepped in and bailed it out. This bank run doesn't look anywhere near as dangerous as COVID. And what were you supposed to do during COVID? You're supposed to buy, baby. Now that math has changed. And we got to take a quick break. And if you want to know how to protect yourself from all this insanity, please give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. I'm going to continue this rant. I've got more to go on this on the Fed meeting because I want to tell you guys what to look out and why it's so important. Because I think one way or the other, we're seeing fireworks next week. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
If you're retired or headed there, is your portfolio positioned for a successful retirement? Well, with the state of the economy right now, risk management has never been more important. Join Bulwark Capital's Zach Abraham for his free live webinar, March 23rd, to learn how their risk management strategy and active management of portfolios can actually lower their volatility. It is a free live webinar.
Todd, protecting retirement portfolios against loss is our number one focus. Our live webinar is a fully transparent look into the Bulwark investment strategy. We'll show you how it worked last year as well as in previous years and why a basic 60-40 stock bond mix is outdated and a big risk in today's economy. Learn how our risk management strategy can help protect your retirement.
Join Zach March 23rd at 3 p.m. Pacific time. It's free, but space is limited. Register now at knowyourriskradio.com and learn about Bulwark's risk management strategy and performance. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Truck Financial LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Okay. No more rants on the Fed. I'm going to stick to my knitting here. Let's go down the hit list of what I want to talk about. Okay, so I think they're going to hike 25 bips. But I do think there is the potential. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's more likely than the market thinks. I think it is not outside the possibility that the Fed drops a 50 basis point hike on the market. Now, that sounds crazy, right? Let's think about it. What are the two biggest problems that the Fed is currently facing? Okay. One, we all know inflation, right? Two, the bond problem with banks. So what you need essentially is you need to get the value of those bonds on the bank's balance sheet. You need to get that value of them to go up, right? Now, an easy way to do that is quantitative easing. Like I said, they just purchased $300 billion worth of bonds. The problem with that is quantitative easing is stimulative, right? So while it does not feed directly into inflation, contrary to what me and a lot of people thought when they first started it, it does feed into asset price performance. And that is a problem because we know that a pretty good sizable component or feed in into inflation is the market. I shouldn't say we know that. I would say that the data is overwhelming. Okay. Also, the data is overwhelming that quantitative easing boosts asset prices, in my opinion. Now, maybe at some point, and guys, I don't think it's a controversial statement to make. We just came off of the biggest bull market in stocks in history, despite having the lowest growth rates in history. Okay. What drove it? You know, call me crazy, but I'm going to say 0% interest rates and quantitative easing. Not really sure which was more stimulative, probably zero rates, but quantitative easing had a pretty powerful impact, right? Ironically, what did quantitative easing do? I think it drove yields on debt way lower than they otherwise would have gone because the Fed was in there buying it, right? And I actually think quantitative easing is directly feeding into the problems we have right now, right? Why? Because the bill comes due. Always does. But what they've got to do is they've got to keep their foot on the neck of inflation because it's resurging. I shouldn't say surging, but it popped back up. It surprised a lot of people. And I've been telling you guys, look, this isn't going to be a one and done thing. I think we're going to be dealing with inflation in some capacity for years to come. There are going to be times where we think it's never going to end. There's going to be times where people say we've got it whipped. And I think it's going to make a lot of people look kind of like this market, right? Get all bared up on one side, wait for a week or two, and you're going to look like an idiot. Get all bulled up on one side, wait a week or two, you're going to look like an idiot, right? And so I think the same is kind of true in that whole scenario. But what the Fed really needs to do, the two biggest problems right now are bank balance sheets and inflation. What could the Fed possibly do that could lower inflation while simultaneously increasing the value of the bonds on bank balance sheets? Recession. It's the only thing that does that. Okay? In a recession, inflation always drops. Why? Because people have less money. They're buying less stuff. Okay? The other thing is, in a recession, the long end of the curve, so thinking out about 10, 20, and 30, remember how we were talking about how in a recession you get corporate bonds, the yields so if you got government bonds and everything else, and in normal times, they're uniform. But what we see in recessions is the yield on government bonds going down and the yield on everything else going up. That's starting to happen right now. Okay, remember I told you we were waiting for the blowout? I'm not saying it's here, but it does look like it's starting. Looks like it's starting in earnest to my eye, but we'll hold back on that. For those of you too, just this is not a recommendation, but I think a nice hedge for a portfolio right now would be, I think it's SJB. It's short, high yield debt. I'm not recommending it, but I'm saying it's a pretty low volatility way to make money when the market's going down if spreads blow out. Again, guys, I'm not recommending. I like to give you guys enough tips so you can do it on your own, right, without getting myself in regulatory trouble. So again, not a recommendation. I'm not saying it's appropriate, but I think that's a really, as a matter of fact, being long treasuries and long that fund that's short high yield, I think is a pretty attractive deal too. So anyway, but not a recommendation. You can't blame me if it doesn't work out. I don't know if it's appropriate for you, all that other stuff. But what they need, ironically, and it's weird to say it, is a recession. Right? So I actually think that they're not going to do this, but I actually think the most responsible thing they could do is raise 50 basis points. Why? Because I think a couple things would happen. The market's already on shaky ground. I think the equity market is starting to look at the problems ahead of itself. But if the market's expecting 0 to 25 and the Fed raises 50, it's going to blow the market out of the water. It'll be an absolute bloodbath. That will drop inflation really quick. And perversely, stay with me here. You go, Zach, but they're raising rates. That means rates are going to go up. I don't think so. And let me explain. Since August of last year, the Fed has raised, I didn't check the numbers, but it's somewhere between 125 to 150 basis points, I believe. During that same period of time, the yield on the 10-year Treasury has dropped from 4.2% to 3.5. Why? Because the bond market is referred to as smart money. The bond market is looking at all the macro stuff that I've been telling you guys about things not looking really good. And the bond market is rallying the long end because they think the end is near. If you threw 50 basis points hikes at this thing, I think you would blow the stock market up. You would rally the long end of the curve, lifting the value of bonds. So you'd blow out inflation and you'd lift the value of bonds at the same time. And I floated this theory on Twitter because, again, I don't think it's an odds-on favorite, but I think it's a bigger possibility than people think. And I think that it fixes a ton of problems for the Fed. As I've told you guys, one of the problems they have is not the interest rate hikes, but it's the fact that the market doesn't believe they'll stick to it. And I think that's been the biggest cause of how sticky inflation has been. Because for 15 years, the Fed has trained this market at the sign of any duress, don't worry, Uncle Fed's got your back. And nobody wants to panic sell, you know, into stress in the markets because for 15 years, it's been wrong. And I'm telling you, I'm in this industry, the fear is still to the upside, unquestionably. People are hedging and people are watching their risk, but the biggest fear of money managers, and I'm not going to lie to you, I fight it too. It's like the scars of the last 15 years where no matter how bad it looked, if central banks stepped in, buy. Well, they're not in the game right now. And as a matter of fact, they're doing the opposite. And this is why I think he has the cover. He floated the idea at the last Fed meeting and said 50 basis points is on the table. Now, that was before the banking crisis. Okay, but here's the thing. He hasn't come out, nor has anybody in the Fed come out and said anything to the contrary since. They've actually been very, very oddly quiet. Okay. In addition to that, the Fed knows, and again, I'm going to tell you, go watch The Age of Easy Money. It's on the PBS website. Go watch it. The Fed knows that the market thinks they own them. The Fed knows that. The Fed knows that the market is going up not because of things going on good, but because the market thinks they're going to panic. One of the things the Fed needs to do, and because they need to do it, I don't think that they will. I think it's possible. I think we got to keep an eye out. I don't think they will. What the Fed needs to do, one of the things they need to do, is they need to reestablish their credibility. They've admitted they've been behind the curve. They need to get out in front of it. I think a 50 bips hike does that. They need to reestablish an authority type figure with the market and make the market think they don't own them. A 50 bips rate hike would do that. And here's the other, well, they're like, if it cuts, it could reaccelerate. Guys, that's one of the problems. Okay. Rate cuts aren't anywhere near as stimulative now than they were in the past. Why? Because everything's already financed at record low rates. That's why I said, that's why I'm sitting there, right? So you don't get the, when we were cutting from a 5% Fed funds rate all the way down to zero, as those cuts are happening, corporation, we all did it with our houses, right? A lot of us did 2-3 different refinances over the last 15 years as mortgage rates kept drifting lower. Okay, well, so a point and a half comes off the Fed funds rate. Mortgage rates pull back to 5.5. Great. That doesn't offer, the only people that offers relief for are people that want to buy a house. And 5.5 is still really expensive at these interest rate hikes, right? But it doesn't provide, none of us are going to go that are in there at 2.5, 2.75 and go refi at 5.5. So I'm looking at this thing going, I think they're looking at it wrong. Everybody sits there and goes, they don't have the brass to hike. And I'm sitting there going, I think that it takes more brass not to. And like I said, it's weird to say this, but if your problem is bond valuations and inflation, recession fixes that really quick. And you can always cut. And again, it's the right thing to do, in my opinion, which is why I don't think they'll do it. And but I will say this. I think the end is here, guys. And don't be the person that's sitting there going, well, yeah, I saw corporate real estate starting to collapse and the real estate market in deep freeze. And then we had a run on the banks. But I thought it was the start of another bull market because Jim Cramer told me, guys, there's a better way. Okay. Our clients are up today. Okay. We're hedged. If they drop 50 next week, we'll probably make money. Why? Because we recognize the environment and we're taking no chances. Can you say that about your portfolio? There's a better way. You don't need to take these risks to accomplish your goals. Right? You can have people that can tell you ahead of time, guys, get out of bonds. It's horrible risk reward. You can have people ahead of time go, hey, this is a really important Fed meeting. We're going to put defense in the portfolio. You can have somebody that actually earns their fee. You can have somebody that cares about your money as much as you do. Why? Because it impacts them as much as you do. My income relies on how your portfolio does. There's a better way. We can lower your costs, drastically lower your risk, take advantage of situations like this rather than just getting pounded. There's a better way. Call us 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, boardcapitalmanagement.com. And guys, you can also follow me on Twitter, at KYR Radio. You'll see stuff like this that I post during the week. I posted the Yellen video in there that I told you, it's 4 minutes long. I posted that documentary, Age of Easy Money, on my Twitter page, at KYR Radio. As always, listen to the podcast. If you do, subscribe, right? KnowYourRiskRadio.com, Know Your Risk Radio podcast on every different podcast site. Anyway, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at Know Your Risk Radio. And call us, 866-779-RISK.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.